Judas's sin, the whole unforgivable nature of it, is not because he was pilfering from the box, as we have discovered last week. Others have stolen and been forgiven. It's not because he was spiteful and greedy. Others have had those character flaws and have been forgiven. It's because he traded away Jesus. He decided he would rather have this than Jesus. And God honors our free will. And if there is someplace else you would rather be than with him, he will, with regret, in the end, let you go.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast that you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Looking back, one of my favorite teachers in high school was Mrs. Frieda Hodge. But I'll tell you something, I did not know at the time that she was one of my favorite teachers. I had no idea that Mrs. Hodge was one of my favorite teachers. She was kind of she was a very 50s stylish lady in the 70s. Her dresses were 50s and her glasses were 50s and she had the big gold chain on her glasses draped around the back of her neck. And she was very, very stylish. I just didn't know it because that was a time out of reckoning for me. She was also very kind, and I did not know that either. I came to recognize something about her as I was given an assignment for selling ads for the yearbook. In addition to other things she did, she was the yearbook supervisor, and you gathered the student staff and she guided us through the process of making the yearbook. And when it came my time, my class's time, to do that project, she sent us out to sell ads. And she sent me to Broad Park, Indiana. Now, I'm just going to tell you, Broad Park is not one of the garden spots of the state. There's only, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but there was only one business in Broad Park, and it was a little one-man mechanic shop in a dumpy old garage, and they sent me out there to get an ad if I could. And when I got out of the car, I knew that I was already not going to make this sale, because the old mechanic was talking to a fella and he saw me get out, and I was a teenager and I was wearing bell-bottom pants and my hair was long and one thing and another, and they began to laugh and to joke about me even as I got out of the car and approached, and I thought to myself, I am not making this sale. But I tried. And I told the fellow, I'm from the high school, we're selling ads for the yearbooks. And he said, well, how much does an ad cost? And I told him that I figured there was no point going for the full page or anything else. You know, for $25, you can get a business card sized ad. And he said, $25? That's what's wrong with you young punk kids. You don't understand the value of my $25. And I'm like, can I leave now? But he just kept going and going and going. And he as he wound down, he said, I'd like to talk to the idiot in charge of this project. I said, well, that would be Mrs. Hodge. And he said, Frieda Hodge? And I said, yes, Frieda Hodge. And he got out his checkbook and wrote me a check for $50 and handed it to me. And I thought, what on earth is going on here? I had no idea that Mrs. Hodge's name carried any weight anywhere, but I found out that it did. She was a good woman. She was a charitable woman. She was a hard-working woman. She had been in that community since she was an infant. She was honest. She was well known. And her name carried clout. But I didn't know that until I began to suspect it when I sold the ad to the mechanic shop at Broad Park. When I was a senior, I took Latin 3. I need you to understand, I was the only student in the class. It was just me. Mrs. Hodge was the teacher. It was the only time in the history of the school Latin 3 had ever been offered. I thought little enough about it at the time. I spent a portion of each day translating the letters of Pliny the Elder, who, by the way, was not very fond of Christianity. But that's okay. I didn't understand until later what it took for Mrs. Hodge, who had taken an interest in me in the 2 years that I took normal Latin, because she was the Latin teacher and the librarian and a few other things. And she had taken an interest in me, and I did not understand that she had had to go to the school board. And she had had to get permission and funding to set up Latin 3 for one student. For 1 year. And most people could not have accomplished it. But Frieda Hodge did it. And she did it for me. As I have grown and learned, though I did not know it at the time, Frieda Hodge was one of my very favorite teachers. God bless you, Mrs. Hodge, wherever you are. John 13 moves into the discussion of the first Lord's Supper on the occasion of the Passover feast that Jesus shared with the disciples. And we will do more later on the Lord's Supper itself, but leading up to the Lord's Supper is the foot washing that Jesus did. Before they served the supper, he took off his robe and he wrapped a towel around himself and he got a basin of water and he went around the table washing his disciples' feet and drying them with that towel. And Peter was like, no, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't, you're the master. We're the servant. You shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus said, you don't understand what I'm doing for you right now. But you will later, someday, understand. Because unless I wash you clean, you have no part. Years ago, we went to several of us went to a Promise Keepers event over in Pittsburgh, and I have to admit, I was not inspired to go back to Promise Keepers, and I came into it late. I think that it was probably better earlier before the years that I tried to be involved a little bit, but the one thing that drove me kind of crazy at the big Promise Keeper Stadium event we went to was that the preaching was lousy. And I don't mean that it wasn't entertaining. I mean that it was doctrinally lousy. And here's an example. And I don't remember the guy's name, but the founder of Promise Keepers was there at the stadium event. His name has skipped out of my head. I could have looked it up. But he preached at that event, and he preached on the foot washing ceremony. And he said to us, to 50,000 of us assembled in the stadium, he said, we have missed the real meaning of the foot washing. And I thought, well, this should be interesting. And he proceeded to tell me, he said, when you walked around Palestine, you got dirty feet because you were wearing sandals and walking on dirt road. And he said that you would build up layers of dirt. If you walked over here, the dirt was different than if you walked over there. So if you were in this region, you got a layer of this kind of dirt. And then you walked over in this region and you got a layer of that kind of dirt on top of it. And then on your way home, maybe you picked up a layer of another kind of dirt. And when they washed your feet, the dirt came off in these layers, and they could see, ah, he's been here, he's been there, he's been over there, as the layers of dirt came off, and they understood your journey. And I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding me. First, that's not how dirt works. And when you pour water on dirt, that's not how it works either. But more importantly, he says, this is the real meaning of the foot washing, rather than what Jesus said was the real meaning of the foot washing. That was the part that just really drove me crazy, because Jesus said two things about it. One, he said, it was an example of humble service, demonstrating the link between humility and greatness. And that's the part I'm not going to dwell on today. Second, he said, you don't understand what I'm doing for you now, but you will someday, because unless I wash you clean, you can have no part in me. I accept nothing else than what Jesus said as the real meaning of what Jesus did. And Jesus gives an aside, a kind of behind the hand remark to Peter during the protest and his explanation. And the aside remark indicates that Judas is not clean or going to be washed clean. You cannot have a part in the Lord unless he makes you clean. And Judas is not clean and is not going to be. Which is to say, he will have no part in Jesus. We understand why this happens. You can't have Jesus and trade him away for money, right? You cannot serve two masters. Your heart will belong to one, or your heart will belong to the other. You will love the one and despise the other. And Judas loved money. And so by default, he despised Jesus and he sold him. He traded Jesus away for a month's wages. You understand that? Judas's sin, the whole unforgivable nature of it, is not because he was pilfering from the box, as we have discovered last week. Others have stolen and been forgiven. It's not because he was spiteful and greedy. Others have had those character flaws and have been forgiven. It's because he traded away Jesus. He decided he would rather have this than Jesus. And God honors our free will. And if there is some place else you would rather be than with him, he will, with regret, in the end, let you go. And Judas could not be clean because he traded the source of cleanness for money. It's not the only way that it can happen. Unless Jesus washes us clean, we have no part in him. And sometimes it is just like that. We decide there are other things we'd rather have, and we trade away our relationship with Jesus Christ for the sake of those things. And because we've made the transaction, we will not be clean. But it's not the only way it happens. How many of you have talked to somebody about giving their lives to the Lord and they answer, Well, I'm going to one of these days when I get my life whipped into shape. You heard that? I've heard it. Jim has heard it. A few of us have heard it. Yeah, I'm going to come to the Lord when I get my life kind of cleaned up so it's kind of worthy to give to Him, I guess. Once I have whipped it into shape, which I'm going to do one of these days, I will give my life to the Lord. I'm here to tell you just what I said about the dirt thing. That's not the way it works. Psalm 25, one of my favorite psalms, begins with these words, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And there's a lot in the psalm, if you keep reading through it, that helps define what that means. He says, as he moves along, he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, for they are many, and I am ashamed of them, but I'd like you to forget them." He says, "Make me to know your ways." And you ask that because you don't know God's ways. Make me to know your ways because I'm stupid. And I can't figure them out for myself. He says, "Make me humble enough to be able to learn from you." All these things as you move through the psalm define that first statement. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, my poor, broken, rotten, dirty, prideful, stubborn, ignorant soul. Can you do something with it? Can you fix this broken thing?" It's a good approach. Because unless the Lord makes us clean, we can have no part in Him. There's no point saying, "Well, I'm going to make myself clean first and then give it to the Lord." If you ever even think such a thing, you haven't heard what He said about the foot washing. "Unless I make you clean, you can have no part in me." Some people believe in what they call the balance. As long as I do more good than evil, God will recognize that. And I see more of you have heard that one. You've heard that, haven't you, Paul? "As long as I do more good than evil, God will recognize the difference and I'll be okay, because the balance will be like this, past the center line. Good heavier than evil." Again, that's not the way it works. Isaiah said, "My best righteousness is filthy rags to you." Paul said, "I don't understand myself. The thing that I love, I neglect. The thing that I hate, I do. Who will deliver me from this twisted, conflicted, contorted person that I am?" And he answers his own question, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, for He will deliver me." Paul also says, "Whatever is not of faith is sin." It's an absolutist statement. There is no balancing act. It isn't about... And even if there was a balancing act, I can tell you which way the scale would go, and it would be discouraging. But there isn't a balancing act. There's only one balance. You are a sinner or you are not a sinner. Are you a sinner? Then the scale does this. Because that's the only measure. We are sinners. We are dirty. And unless the Lord makes us clean, we have no part in him. I remember that wonderful day in 1969 when I was baptized. Great day! I had been a believer all my life growing up in the church, and nevertheless it was something of a conversion experience for me. It was a high, a wonderful day, a closeness to God I had not experienced, a day of great conviction. It was a great day when I was baptized, and I felt joy in what God was doing for me in 1969 when I was 12 years old. But I will tell you now that I did not really understand what God was doing for me at the time. Well, I'm not downing my decision. It was a legitimate decision. I'm not downing the call that God put on my heart. All that was real. But I'm telling you this, I did not very well understand everything that God was doing for me on that day that I came to Him in 1969. At its most basic level, baptism is taking a bath, to be washed clean. And I kind of understood that the real washing wasn't the water in the baptistry, which is a symbol, but the blood of Jesus Christ, which is where the power is. I kind of understood that. I understand it more now. If God spares me to live a while longer, I think I will probably understand it better. Yet, I kind of understood that when I was 12. But there was something I did not understand. And it was about that whole being made clean thing. Let me acquaint you with this. When I was 12 and I was baptized, I committed right then. I'm done with sin. I'm never going to sin again. Anybody care to predict how long that held up? But I was certain I was never sinning again, and I was shocked when I found that I did. I did not know how dirty I was. At 12 years old, you are no longer pure as the driven snow. At 12 years old, you've managed to actively do some sinning. But at 12, even then, I did not know how dirty I was. And I'm going to tell you something else. I did not know how dirty I was going to become. Things I had done at 12 were bad enough to lead me to the conviction that I needed Jesus Christ. But I had no idea how much worse things I would do in the years to come. I had no idea how dirty I would be, how badly my soul would need the cleansing that Jesus Christ offers. No clue. After all, I was never going to sin again, right? No, I did not understand at the time what Jesus was doing for me. I've come to understand more. How many of you have ever picked up a kid, your own or someone else's, like this? Just the fingertips, as much as you can manage, at arm's length, lest they touch you. And you hold them that way until you can get to a tub or the garden hose. And you do that because they are filthy. Filthy. Later there will be holding and hugging and loving on them, but not until you have cleaned them up. Until then, it's this. God cannot abide sin. And until He washes us clean, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Though he loves us, we can have no part in him. And he wants us to. He wants us to. He wants us to spend eternity with him. He wants us to enter into his joys forever. He wants us to be blessed perpetually. It requires only this, that we let him clean us up. Because until we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's where it was leading, this transition into the Passover, and we'll talk more about that later. But until we have been cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have no part in him. There is the meaning of the foot washing. Have you been washed clean?
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.